Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1 verse 72. The Gospel of Luke chapter 1 verse 72.
The Gospel of Luke chapter 1 verse 72 reads this way. It says, "To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And then, Lord, being reminded, even tonight, Lord, that where two or three are gathered together, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, once again, we thank you for your presence. Lord, may we humbly bow our hearts and our minds before you and call upon you to guide us to hear from you and to worship you in spirit and in truth, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up, and that our lives would be drawn closer to you, to one another, and that souls would be saved. So, Lord, bless your word tonight. Build and bless us, Lord, your people, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is God's Performance of His Promises. God's Performance of His Promises. And we really need to kind of focus in on this, because here we find this account of the promise that was spoken dealing with Elizabeth and Zacharias concerning the child, John, of course, that was going to be born, the forerunner to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we consider that, we know that while Elizabeth was expecting her child, and when Mary came and visited with her, the babe leaped in her womb. Now, I don't know if that was the moment that he was filled with the Holy Spirit from her womb. Remember, we don't know exactly when that was, but no doubt to say the Holy Spirit was working, amen? Because then Elizabeth was able, she knew who Mary was when she came. Of course, it was her cousin, but she knew that she was going to be the one that was going to bring forth the Son of God, the Savior of the world. So tonight we'll focus in or zero in on two thoughts here, and that is, first of all, God's mercy seen, but the will of God misunderstood, and that can happen. Secondly, we'll take notice of filled with the Holy Ghost. So these are the two thoughts that we'll zero in a little bit here and notice what God is doing. And by the way, not just in their lives and this time in history, but also what he wants to do in ours as well. So as we consider God's mercy seen, but the will of God misunderstood, let me back you up here to verse 57. And one thing to consider is God's promises and mercies are always on time. Listen, we don't understand it, but God is always on time. He's never late. He never gets in front of himself. He always is on time and in control. Verse 57 says this, "Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son," exactly as God said, right? And so things are going well, but notice what happens here. "And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her." Now, they don't understand everything that's going on, but they did know this. She was barren, amen? And she did not have any children, and God blessed her and Zacharias in their old age, kind of like another Isaac, right? To be blessed by the Lord and also to be used for the honor and glory of the Lord, their son John, of course. So notice what happens here, verse 59, it says, "And it came to pass," so as we consider this, we find that here are her cousins and her neighbors that are gathered there. And by the way, this is the area probably Hebron, which is what where the Levites were at and the priests. And so they were close relatives and neighbors that were there. And they understood they were the servants of God and knew that they were to minister to the Lord. And so notice what happens here in verse 59. "And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called his name Zacharias after the name of his father." So this was their doing, right? The cousins, the family's there, and the neighbors are there, and they are naming their son, right? Well, his name obviously is going to be Zacharias. They were convinced of that. But God had a different idea, didn't he? God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. But God had a plan and a purpose. And by the way, if you ever stop to consider why they waited on the eighth day and why they waited to name him. So he's been born 8 days, right? No name. You know, I was told years ago that you could bring your child home and take a week or two before you would name him. right? I'm not familiar with anybody. Usually, you know, you name them right there at the hospital and they get all the, I think now that's kind of a legal thing, but it used to be you could bring them home, a child with no name, until you decided to name them. Maybe it would give you a time to look at them and decide what that you think you should call them. But in this particular case, they named the children, the tradition was, because Abraham, if you remember, was Abram until he received the covenant of circumcision, and then God named him Abraham, right? And he was a father of the Hebrew people, and say they were following the same custom here, and they thought surely he would be named Zacharias after his father. And then notice what happens here in verse 60. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." Now she was on board, wasn't she? She knew exactly, because she was told and understood what God was doing, and so did Zacharias. But here we have the cousins and the neighbors and everybody that was gathering together for a wonderful celebration that did not know. But the good thing was that they were open to hearing what's going on. This is something different, right? And so they had their custom, but it's important that we're careful that we don't get caught up in traditions and thinking certain ways and God's working a different way, right? And so we need to really follow the Lord. We know that the disciples had some ideas of their own and kind of got in front of the Lord at different times. But the most important thing is that we seek the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and all of our soul. And in seeking him, God says, "You're going to find me. I won't let you down. I'll show you my way." Amen? I'll show you my way. Not just any way, but he'll show us his way. Lord, we want to know how to honor and glorify you your way. Because if we come up with our own ideas, possibly could we stand before the Lord and miss his plan? It can happen. We can listen. I've done it myself, and you think certain things. This is good. This is good. Joshua thought some good things, didn't he, about some spies that came by, and we're from a far away. Look at our moldy bread and our old and worn and torn clothes. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't stop and seek the Lord, and so therefore he got fooled, didn't he? And of course he made them drawers of waters and things of that nature. But he missed the plan of God because he just kind of, and he was a man of God, and he was somebody who diligently served the Lord, but he neglected to seek counsel of the Lord and missed it. And so may you and I, how would we seek the Lord today? By studying his word and prayer. Amen? So God bears fruit, but the fruit needs sunshine, doesn't it, to give it its sweetness. If you had just all overcast days and rainy days, you might have some fruit, but it's not going to taste very good. And so the word of God is what brings forth growth, and then prayer is the Son of God, the presence of God, coming upon that word that brings forth growth and fruit and tasty fruit, right? That the world would see and trust the Lord, and God would work within us as we call upon him. Lord, we pray unto you, the Lord of the harvest. I pray that you've been praying, oh God, we need souls to be saved. Amen? There are souls that are leaving this world. How often? Every day and every second of every day throughout the whole world, people are leaving this side of eternity and going into the next world. And if they're without Christ, they're eternally doomed. And so it behooves every child of God. That's not just the pastor's job. That's the church of God to call upon the Lord, that we might say, Lord, send forth your light into the world and shine your light through my life. Amen. That I might be the witness you'd have me to be. So here she is, and she says, she stands up, she says, "Not so," in verse 60, "but he shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name." So do you see their rationale? What was their custom? They would name the child by either the mom or the dad or a family member. But they're saying, hey, listen, that makes absolutely no sense. There's none of your kindred that is called by this name. And so what do they do? And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. So now they're going to dad, right? But get this now. They were already naming the child without going to dad. Or the mom, really. They just, well, here's what we're going to call him. Surely you'd be proud to call him Zacharias. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the good thing was that when the mother said, nope, that's not the plan. She's already gotten the plan. Zacharias has already gotten the plan. And by the way, remember what the Lord said? Check out the Lord's timing. The Lord said that when your son will be born, your tongue will be loosed. Is that not what he said to Zacharias? But he waited 8 days. So this is still considered the time of the birth of John. He's not finished yet being consecrated to the Lord. So this is all within the right time frame. And sometimes that doesn't make sense to us. But God, like we said, is always on time. He's never late. And he always fulfills his promises. So they are talking to him. How are we going to call him? What are you going to call him? And verse 63 here, as we consider this, we find God's confirmation. So we find here this clarification concerning God's will to his people. They're clarifying. Elizabeth and Zacharias are saying, no, you guys don't have it right. That's not God's plan. Amen. They didn't say it that way, but they're saying that's not what his name's going to be. And so we find here God confirming it here in verse 63. And he asked for a writing table and wrote saying, his name is John. And they marveled. How many? They all marveled at this. They said, this makes absolutely what? No sense. This makes no sense. We usually name our kids after our family members in verse 64. And notice this. And his mouth was open. How quick? Immediately. Isn't that amazing? That's what God was waiting for them to fulfill. Elizabeth had said it. Now they were, look at the mind of God. And God was waiting for Zacharias to say, I'm on board with God. He's been on board. He's been waiting to be on board. But since you asked him, he's going to tell you. His name is John. He was convinced also this was the will of God and the way it was going to work. And so immediately the Bible says here, and his mouth was open immediately and his tongue loosed and he spake. And what did the first thing that he did when he spake? He praised God. Isn't that good? He praised the Lord. You know, it's good to praise God. But not just for the sake of praising God. It's good to praise the Lord for what he's already done, for what he's doing, and for what he's going to do. Can we praise the Lord for what he's done? Absolutely. He gave us physical life. And then as a child of God, he's given to us eternal life. And then now he's given us a purpose and a plan for this life. And then we've got a life yet to come. Wow. I don't know about you, but I can praise the Lord. Amen. I can thank the Lord that he took me from a destination of eternal condemnation to eternal life. Isn't that amazing? And I can praise the Lord for many things. I mean, he's called me into the ministry. He's blessed me with a wonderful wife and wonderful children and the privilege of serving him. Amen. And by the way, he's blessed us all with that, to serve him in our capacity that he's placed us in. And so here he is praising the Lord. And as we consider here, we find more of the confirmation. Verse 65 says, and fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. Remember, and that was also what was called Hebron. And so as we look at this here, we find here that all the people understood what was going on. Isn't that amazing? They knew that he was a prophet of God, John the Baptist. And how is it that some 30 years later, they rejected him? Isn't that amazing when you stop to think about that? The scribes, the Pharisees, there was a big witness and fear fell upon all of them. They all knew that God was working. The Bible says, verse 65, and fear came on all that dwelt round about them. But that fear was not the same when he was older, was it? Wasn't the same. And so, verse 66 says, and all they that heard them, all these words that were said, laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Isn't that good? The hand of the Lord. Do you know the hand of the Lord is still with us today? Amen. And as we seek the Lord, and that's what it revolves around, as we seek the Lord, God reveals himself. As we say, God, I need you. And again, prayer is a beggarly trait, if you will, or practice, because what we're saying is, God, I can't go this day without you. I need you, Lord. Because if you don't guide me, how easy is it for me to step off the path? Amen. How easy it is for me to begin to rationalize and use my human reasoning, right? We were talking about the Satan being the prince and the power of the air. And I said I wasn't against technology, But do you know, if he's the prince and power of the air, he's involved in government. He's involved in education. And if you don't believe me, just go and hear some of the stuff that they're teaching. And tell me he's not involved in education. He's perverting the truth, right? Now, we're in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. And so what we want to do is to be careful that when we're in the world, realize we are in the realm where Satan is the prince and power of the air. And so what's his attribute like? He's like a roaring lion to come to all the children of God and nuzzle up to them and purr and all that, right? Or is he looking to devour us? He's looking to destroy us and to devour us. And so what better way than for us? I don't know. I don't think you can really get along without using technology today, do you? I mean, you've got to use technology to some extreme, but enter with caution. Amen? Enter with caution because technology can take you in the wrong direction if you're not spirit-led. You've got to know where those limits are. Nope, this is not of the Lord. This is not, I can use it for this, but I don't want to go anywhere around this other direction. All right? So here they are. God's confirming his work and what kind of a child he's going to be. And notice what happens here. And his verse 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, so this is important because this is God's direction. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, and God is giving him a blessing and a revelation for not just the people of his day, but also for the people of every day after that. And so as we consider this, again, verse 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord of Israel, for he hath visited his redeemed, his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Do you know that any scribe, any Pharisee, any Sadducee, any religious ruler of the day during the time of John's ministry when he was in his adult years, and during the time of the Lord's ministry, they had record of this account? But they rejected it. They did not want to receive it. And so verse 70 says, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, this is fulfillment, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware unto our father Abraham, that he should grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. So here's Zacharias telling all the people, we can walk in this truth. By the way, they were already walking in that truth. Remember, as we read earlier, a few sermons ago, that they were righteous before the Lord, Elizabeth and Zacharias. So he's telling them, this is God's plan and what he wants us to do. And then he tells them here what John's going to do here in verse 76. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare whose ways? His ways. This was God's plan. This was the forerunner that was spoken of in the Old Testament concerning what would take place before the Messiah would come on the scene. So here's the wonderful thing. Everything is lining up right in order, exactly as God said it was going to take place. And notice what the purpose was, verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God. Isn't that good? Listen, God is a merciful God. God didn't come to condemn the world. The world is already condemned. God came to give eternal life. Verse 78, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. And you know, basically what we take away from this, it came to pass just like God said it would. And you know what? Listen, is God finished with history? It's his story, isn't it? It's all his. And he's coming again. So is God working in our day and age? Does God still have a plan and a will for our day and age? Yes. Everything is culminating. My goodness, listen, we had no idea October 7th how things were going to turn out. But boy, has God protected Israel like he promised, has he not? Even more than we could have ever expected. I mean, can you imagine? Do you know Israel, and we'll finish up here, Israel is only like, I think, 380 square miles. Somewhere right around that ball, it might be 385 square miles. That would be like going from Miami, Florida, to Orlando, to Tampa, and back. I mean, it's not that much area. And God, look at all the enemies that are around, surrounding Israel, and they're still standing. Do you know that gives us encouragement? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. May we walk in that faith in God and grace that he's given to us. For his honor and glory, our blessing and our joy. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, thanking you, Lord, for the confidence that you give us in your word, in your promises, and in your will and work that you're wanting to do in our lives. Lord, may you give us the faith to seek you and to walk in your ways as you've called us to, and how you've blessed us, Lord, and empowered us by the salvation that you've given to us, the death, burial, and resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be found faithful because we look to you from where our strength and all of our hope comes from. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.